superintendent of our souls and also the universe. And even though things look bleak around us, God's still in charge. It's a blessing to have my brother-in-law and sister-in-law here. They're from West Virginia. As of last night, no one in West Virginia has contacted the coronavirus. My brother-in-law says they're so poor they can't even get coronavirus in West Virginia. I told him maybe it's something to all that cold dust. And so our prayers are with you, brother. They're planning on going back tomorrow. I don't know if we have infected them or not, so they might be taking something with them. But I appreciate them being with us, and good to have Henry and Suzanne this morning all the way from Florida. Sorry you had to put that coat on, Henry, and come back home, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And thank you, so many of you, praying for Jeremy. Tough time that Jeremy's going through. And poor Lauren, she is with two babies and a lot on their plate. So you please continue to pray for them. I'm going to speak to the issue of fear this morning. It is what it is. I don't know what to say outside of that. And some people have different measures of it. It just behooves me. I've never in my life, just as well as you, I think, well, it's not too bad. But then when they start shutting down the basketball tournaments, I'm like, man, this is the end of the line. Even the races, it's like, what in the world? And we get in the midst of this chaos, and it just continues to snowball and snowball and snowball, and even God's people getting racked with fear over what in the world are we going to do? We're going to keep doing the same thing we've been doing forever. Believe God. Amen. Hey, listen, it might do us some good to get back to some of those old ways of just doing what has to be done to survive. God's always made a way for his people. And so we rest in that today. But I want to address the issue, because I'm sure that as well as I'm standing here, there's some of you who say, yeah, preacher, but you don't see it the way I see it. And we need to see it the way God sees it. That's what we need to understand. 1 John chapter 4, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there to verse 17 and 18. The scripture says, herein is our love made perfect. That word perfect means mature or complete. In other words, in these turbulent times, God's trying to teach us something. That's the beautiful thing about him. He's always at work around you. Even when you think that he's packed up and gone on vacation, he's still at work around us. He's desiring for you and I to grow in the things of God. Look at Don and Michelle. Here's Don, a new baby in Christ, being shoved into these situations with his wife and life being threatened and kidneys shutting down and just the obstacles of what they've been facing. What's God doing? God's growing him up quick. God's working that work of maturity in him. It's not that he doesn't love him and care for him. He's just growing him. He's growing you and I. Hey, when you get to the end of your reasoning, friends, sometimes you just got to flat get down and trust God to be big and do what he said he's going to do. And if you don't get what you're asking for, then you probably didn't need it to start with. But just in trusting him. But he says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. And that word boldness means assurance, that we might have assurance in the day of judgment. Well, is this judgment? I don't know. I just know that it's negative. I know that it's not good. I know the enemy's using it in so many different ways. But I know that God's going to use it just to create a stronger assurance in my life and yours. Hey, listen, it's a blessing when God answers prayer. Amen. And you know what encourages me in my prayer life? When God gives me an answer, direct answer to a prayer that I pray. I'm like, wow. I'm 42 years old in the Lord and still wowed by the fact that God answers prayer. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Just as Jesus walked in this world, do you ever read in the gospel accounts where Jesus was wearing himself to death? Do you ever read where he was racked with fear and overcome with fear because of what was going on around him? Never. And just as he was in the world, we're to be the same thing in the world. And listen to verse 18. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In my little time of going to Sam's the other day, there was a father and a son walking through the store. Well, a little guy, he's just squirrely, you know, probably had a good glass of jet fuel or something, and man, you could see it in his eyes, like he's wanting to get loose and break out. You know, they got those long aisle wide. And there he took off. Boy, he was shot off to the left. And I could see him and I could see his dad. His dad didn't know that the little boy run off. And then they got to the place where they couldn't see each other. So I'm watching this little kid and I'm thinking, what's he going to do? In a minute, he's going to slam emergency brake on because he's going to recognize that dad's not running after him. And sure enough, boy, he came to a screeching halt. He starts looking around. And you could just tell that the tension was mounting. And he's like, Dad! Dad! Well, I'm watching Dad while I'm watching him. And Dad's like, you know, he's doing this number. And he said, Son, just stay where you are. I can hear you. I'll be there in just a second. I said, isn't that a perfect example of God? That in our turbulent times, you know what? He's a steady force, consistent now. We're screaming our lungs out. We're racked with anxiousness and fear and doubt and distrust and discouragement and a whole other host of adjectives. But there's God steady on course. And he knows exactly where we are. Friends, he knows where you are. He knows how many rolls of toilet paper you got or don't have. I mean, that's just the way it is. And what we as Christians have got to do is calm down in the midst of it. Man asked me the other day, he said, aren't you scared? Aren't you concerned? I said, well, I mean, I have levels of concern, but I'm not saying that I'm scared. Because, friends, it could get a whole lot worse than what it is. It could get a whole lot worse than what you and I could imagine. What were you telling me this morning, that he's got a friend that works where? Your friend for Walmart? Yeah, reduction in shipping from China. And if it doesn't come in within 72 hours, Walmart's all over the United States not going to get the product. So if Walmart didn't get the product, guess who ain't going to get the product? You and I. And then I got to think, I said, can you imagine what the rapture's going to be like? Whew, this place is going to be in pandemonium. But thank God I ain't going to be here. Amen. But the fear factor, God says, listen, there's some things I want you to understand. Let's get into that this morning. Father, we thank you for your great love, your commitment to us. And we pray today that you, by the power of your Spirit, will move mightily in our hearts, that God, we can see your hand in the midst of all of it. And that we can understand that great work of grace and the strength of God, that the love that you put in us and you've extended to us as Christians, that, Lord, you're committed to a cause, to a purpose in life. Your goal in life for us is to be like Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to be infected and affected by the love from your great heart. God, steal our anxiousness. God, calm our fears. Help us to convey that to people in this world. For anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, may you speak peace into that life, that they might know what it means to have a God that's bigger than any situation in life, and that they might know what it means to have eternity before them with a strong assurance that according to the written word of God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, the facts concerning fear enslaves. The reason why fear enslaves, it could be something out of your past, it could be something in your present, or it could be something in your future. I was talking to a lady the other day. She was talking about how she was raised and things that happened in her life, in her childhood, that she's probably still being affected by somehow, some way. You know, you never get away from your past. People say, well, you don't need to go back and visit your past. Well, sometimes you do need to. Sometimes you need to go back and clear up some issues. But we still remember our past, don't we? And it could be something there that's generating a sense of anxiousness in your life today. And of course, the present. Lord knows whether it's coronavirus or whatever it might be, the flu or whatever, there are things in the present day and age in which we're living in, apart from those things, that create enough turmoil. You just rest assured. And then there's the future. You know, that at times doesn't look very good. And so fear enslaves us. It just gets us to the point where we're consumed with that. We can't shake it. Some of you go to bed with the same fear that you get up with every single morning. Number two, it intimidates. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. It's like the enemy putting hooks in you. It'll bring a snare, according to the book of Proverbs. Thirdly, it inflicts. Fear is actually the beginning of torments. And people, truly, friends, are actually tormented from fear. I mean, I've known people that were so fearful that it consumed them, and medication and therapy and so much that they had to be, you know, interject into their life just being able to make it because their life was so painful. Fear had torment and can never be separated any more than a man can flee from his shadow. You might say, well, I don't know that I believe that. Listen, if you've never walked in that, you don't understand that. But I've seen people that live their life that way. That they were tormented from the time they went to bed to the time, from the time they got up until the time they went to bed. Engulfed with the fact that something tragic was going to happen. Fear depresses. We torment ourselves as we contemplate what lies ahead of us. We get depressed because we don't see anything changing. We fail to remember that a loving God is always at work around us and that He's committed Himself to us and He will never leave us nor forsake us. As a pastor, I say that to people at times and it's almost like I'm speaking Spanish or something. When I say, listen, God understands what you're going through. Well, where is God? I said, the Bible says that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So that tells me He's right here. Well, how come He's not fixing my problem? How come He's not encouraging me? How come He's not giving me peace? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not God. Can't tell you that. Secondly, what's the mission of fear? Is it to cause suffering? Believe me, friends, the devil capitalizes on that. Fear involves an idea of punishment. It has the same function in the moral world as pain does in the physical world. Not only does it cause suffering, but it seduces people. It makes the present miserable by hoarding forebodings of the future. Some of you this morning cannot. You can't even look to the future right now because you're so engulfed in the clouds. To think of the sun shining in a few days to come, that's just not on your radar screen. Especially some of you mothers in this room. Because you have those mothering instincts and you run in your emotions, and many times that is a devil's playground to capitalize on those emotions and create fear in you. What if we run out of food? What in the world am I going to do to take care of my kids? What if, what if, what if, what if? And it brings suffering and it seduces you and it suppresses you that you just feel this sense of stifling and it shackles you where you're rendered inoperative. And thank God for that beautiful song, but in mentioning prayer to some people, we don't catch that sometimes, do we? How many of you have walked through turbulent times and you just kind of forgot about praying? Well, it's like, oh, yeah, I should have done that. The mission of prayer, what causes fear? Number one, the mistrust of God's person. You know, if you're being racked with fear, one of the things that you really need to take a long look at is your knowledge of God. What do I need to fear if God is omnipotent, which He is, which means He's all powerful? Why do I need to fear anything in life? I remember growing up as a little kid, my daddy was strong. He's stronger than any other man I ever saw. Man, I've seen him take jars off of, take lids off of pickle jars that nobody else could get. You didn't mess with my dad. He was a strong man. You ever look at God that way? Coronavirus? Because my God's big. You see, for some of you, you got to get him in your vision and get him correct. And your mistrust of the person. Well, what do I do? Get in the Word of God. Just get in the Bible and read all about him. Find out what he's like. Look for his activity on every single page. Looking for the things that he did for so many different people. And if he did it for them, how come he's not doing it for you? Not only a mistrust in God's person, but a misconception of his providence. Did you hear what I said just a moment ago? He said that he will never leave you nor forsake you, which means that he's sitting beside you on that pew. No, he's not. Well, isn't that what the Bible says? Doesn't the Bible say that he occupies the heavens and the earth? Yeah. Thirdly, there's a misunderstanding of his power. And there's so many things that we need. One of the greatest books ever written is The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. It was probably one of the simplest, deepest books I've ever read in my life outside of the Bible, where it just shows me the attributes of God and helps me to understand how big he is, but yet how small he is. That even in the midst of him being small, he's huge. And as people say many, many times, you know, hey, my God's large and in charge, and that's so true. You think God's sitting up there on his throne wondering how in the world we're going to pull this thing off? You think God's racked with fear and just not knowing how it's all going to work out for you and I down here? Friends, God's got it all mapped out. He's doing more for us in our presence than we can ever imagine. And I don't need to fear anything today. We don't even need to fear death. One man said, I'm not scared to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Now, there's some aspects of it maybe we do fear, but hey, Paul said to die is gain. But yet some people get all tight when you start talking about death. Fourthly, in closing, the victory over fear. Okay, all right, I got it. I got it. You understand? I got it. I know I got it. It's in me. It's on me. It runs through me. I put up a big front. I'm a fake and a phony when it comes to this thing of fear. I'm scared to death. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I'm scared I'm going to catch it. That's just where I'm at. First thing we need to do, there must be confession based upon God's love. Back up to the first part of this chapter and pick up in verse 8 where the scripture says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards who? Us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Well, listen, if God was big enough to do what he did in relationship to sending his Son for you and I, that we might be able to clear up the issue of where we're going to spend eternity and take care of all of that, that we might have the forgiveness of sin, do you think he's concerned about the world in which we're living in today and that he's going to supply the need? Sure. Because my Bible says, as he gave his Son, that we might live through him, even through these kind of times. Look what else the scripture says in verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You think just because coronavirus is in our midst that God is not still in love with us? Sure he is. He sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is being perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he's given us of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And then that verse says, herein is love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the negative times of life. Because so is he, so are we in this world. Wow. That's pretty cool. Sometimes you just have to rehearse truth. And I've learned in walking into many different situations, because things will just pop you right between the eyes and then everything is just scattered to the winds, especially in tragic times. And people looking for the pastor to give some kind of answer. You know what I do? Take them right back to the Word of God. I said, hey, let's just go back and rehearse a few things. Where's God? What does the Bible say? He's right here. I said, that's right. You think he's fully aware? Sure. Psalm 121 says, I look unto the hills and mountains, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that created the heavens and the earth, that neither sleeps nor slumbers. That's truth. That's truth that'll speak peace into situation. You just have to rehearse truth sometimes. That's why it's important for you to memorize scripture, so that when you walk through those turbulent times, and if you live long enough, you're going to walk through those times, that truth can be brought back to the surface, that you base your situation on God and be willing to confess that. Secondly, there's a conscious awareness of God's love. Now, he says in verse 18, there's no fear, but perfect love. Not just love, but perfect love. Somebody said perfect love is like taking the wax and the comb out of the honey and just having the honey. Now, I always, as a kid, I used to love chew on the wax. Didn't you like, isn't that cool when you bite down on it and that honey squeeze out of it? But, you know, as you get older and get false teeth, you don't want to mess with it. Because the next thing you know, your teeth are going to fall out. And he's saying, hey, the perfect love that I'm talking about, this is a complete love. This is a love that's been brought to fullness. That even in the midst of my difficulties and tribulations in life, I'm engulfed with the fullness of the love of God. And all God is wanting to do is to conform me more to the image of his son. It is a love that presents a past fact and a present reality. That my God's in charge. And I don't want people to get all up in arms. Hey, I've been carrying germs since I was born. You? So we're all carriers, amen? Lord, if we really knew what was going on in these bodies, we'd have something to be worried about. We'd have been knuckle bumping and shoulder bumping a long time ago. I mean, you know, I get a little concerned nowadays about grabbing the handle of those baskets in those grocery stores. I've gotten to the point where I'm one of those people that pulls out the thing, you know, make sure that those things, and there again, I'm not a panicking person, but when I look around and see people in the universe, I'm like, I ain't touching that thing unless it's cleaned. Thirdly, there's confidence in God's love. A believer who experiences perfecting love grows in his confidence towards God. He has a reverential trust of God, not a tormenting fear. An immature Christian is tossed between fear and love, but the mature Christian rests in God's love because he knows God. And he knows that God can handle. Some of you this morning need to have that strong assurance. And for some, it's going to take you walking through the depths of despair to visually come to that place where you see the awesomeness of the God that you know personally. And I walked through many a storm with many a people, and there are people that have testified after walking through those deep valleys. I see God totally different now, preacher. It's not the same. My view of him is not the same that it used to be. John 16:33, as he looked at those disciples that were scared to death, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation." And then he says, "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Some of you just need to claim that and profess that. Some of you need to turn right now and look self in the eye and say, "Hey, you're not going to control me anymore. Because my Bible shoots down everything that you stand for, which brings fear to my heart and my life. Because when I read the Bible, this is not what I hear going on in my head. And all that is self trying to convince you of the fact that God's small and he can't fix your problem, so let's just be overcome with fear. But when I start reading the truth on the blessed pages of this book, man, I'm brought to a different angle, which tells me, hey, I don't need to fear the situations that go on around me, because perfect love is going to cast out that fear. He's going to take care of my problem." There was an old beggar that wandered through life. He went from place to place, begging food, begging a bed. He was talking to a man one day, and he said, "Sir, I want to tell you about my friend." He said, "Who was your friend?" He said, "My friend was Abraham Lincoln." He said, "Him and I were very, very close." He said, "Well, if you and Abraham Lincoln were so close, why do you walk around as a beggar and you got these injuries and you don't have any provision? Why didn't Abraham Lincoln take care of you?" He said, "Well, I do have a piece of paper that's folded up in my wallet that he signed many years ago." He said, "Let me see it. I don't believe you." He pulled that piece of paper out, and the man began to read. He said, "Is that Abraham Lincoln's signature?" He said, "Yeah. He was my good friend." He said, "Sir, do you know what this piece of paper says?" He said, "No, I'm not real good at reading, but I do know Abraham Lincoln's signature." He said, "Sir, this is a federal pension that was authorized by Abraham Lincoln, and you are a very rich man." You know, isn't it a sad commentary in life that we walk around many times engulfed with fear and live like paupers? When God has written a love letter to you and I that says, "I'll never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will supply your needs according to my riches in glory," which you can't put a dollar figure on that. And when I got those kind of promises in here, and I know that God loves me to the place that he sent his son into this world to die in my place and take care of my sins and prepare a place in heaven and a mansion on a hillside, I could care less. I don't care if I'm homeless in heaven. I don't care. I think it, who knows? What do I need to fear? What do I really need to be concerned about? Because if God loves me to that point, hey, I don't have to pop a pill to go to sleep at night. You know why? Because my God reigns. He's going to take care of it. He's going to handle it. Do you have that peace? Do you have that strong assurance? Are those what ifs crashing in your brain this morning? Mamas, are you scared to death for your kids? Are you fearful? You know what? It might be the greatest opportunity that you've got to take those little kids and get upon bended knee and say, "Hey, I don't know how God's going to do it, But we're going to set our gaze on him, and we're going to believe him to do something impossible. Amen. And you know what I've learned about those little kiddies? They're going to follow suit. Many times they'll outpray us as adults. Isn't it something that children are not getting coronavirus? And what's God trying to say to us as adults? I think he might be saying, get your heart right. Get your view right. Start living for me. Learn to be content with what you have and what you don't have. And understand that I can wipe it all away in any given second. I mean, would you have ever imagined in your lifetime that we are seeing the things happen around us that are happening with just in a matter, as Hal said this morning, 72 hours? And we're supposed to be the greatest nation on earth and the strongest with the strongest economy, and everything's just falling apart. We're not really as strong as we think we are. Back at the turn of the century, basically four or five people turned this country upside down in a matter of minutes and brought it to its knees. We don't need to focus on all the what ifs. We need to focus on the bigness of who he is and what he is. That I can know him personally, and he can be my source of strength, and he can take care of my every need. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? You know for sure that heaven's going to be your home? That God desires to forgive you and set you free of the guilt and the condemnation? That's how much he loves you. And if he loves me enough to take care of that, then he's going to love me enough to take care of my needs. Father, thank you for the truth of your word and how it ministers to our heart and encourages today that no matter what we face in life, you got it. You got our backs. And so I pray this morning that you will convey those truths to people here. That people will be encouraged by your word. Your eternal word. Your word that will not return unto you void. I pray that people will walk away from here today recognizing how big you are, your strength. And go out of here with a spirit of expectation that you're going to do far more than we could ever imagine. And so, Lord, thank you for that. Pray for anyone here today that's never trusted Christ. May this be the day they give their heart to thee. And we'll be sure to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, as we sing?